Megillah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah, Aleph, 3:1. And before I begin, it should be noted that this Perek, which is called Bnei Ha'ir, actually appears as the fourth and final Perek in the Bavli, if you learn the Gemara. And it seems, however, probably this ordering, as we have it in front of us, is consistent with how the Rif has the Minyan of the Shonim and the Rishalmi. Nevertheless, it remains sort of an interesting question why it would be ordered in the way that it is in front of us here, because the fourth chapter will go back to, once again, talking about reading the Megillah, whereas our chapter here talks about the halachas of the Beis HaKnesses and the Kriyas HaTorah. The first three Mishnayos we have here talk about the halachas and the Kedusha of a Beis Knesset, a shul, and things associated with it. And here in our first Mishnah, what's the ostensible focal point is the halachas of selling a shul and other things that have Kedusha attached to them, like a Sefer Torah and an Aron Kodesh, etc. Now, to understand the Mishnah, a good amount of background is required here. The first thing is to understand that when it comes to selling, let's say, a shul or a Sefer Torah or a Aron Kodesh, etc., so the halacha would be that if all the stakeholders agree to do it, then it's going to be permitted to do so essentially without restriction. What our Mishnah is doing here, and this really is sort of not at all evident from the words of the Mishnah itself, is discussing a scenario where not all of the stakeholders are acting in unison. And therefore, there's like safeguards put in place where the rabbi said that the kedusha of these items should limit the permissibility of how they're sold and what the proceeds from the sale are used to purchase. So essentially that's a protection that people can't sort of sell something from the shul and then diminish the shul's religious assets, its assets in terms of kedusha, let's call it. So to understand that, what you have to get is that in the time of the Mishnah, the Gemara, the way that cities were organized, I'll call it politically, is that they had seven representatives, like a representative democracy, the seven representatives of the town, who were referred to as the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, the seven good men of the city, who were appointed by the city as its representatives to make decisions regarding communal matters. So those seven persons, and they don't even have to be like the biggest tzaddikim or the wisest people, they're just seven representatives of the town that are chosen by the people of the town, by whatever power structure there are in the town to put them in place, they're authorized to act on behalf of the town. Now, although they're authorized to do so, there's a concern that they would perhaps, in certain instances, act in a way that's not in concert with all the stakeholders of the city, and therefore, our mission is going to put safeguards in place where if either the city residents, the majority of the city residents, act not with the authorization of the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, those seven persons who are like the council of the city, or if the seven people of the city, the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, act without like unanimous consent of the people, so then there are certain safeguards put in place where if you're selling these kind of assets to the community, like the shul or the Sefer Torah, etc., there are limits as to what the process can be used for. But if, and this is not, again, not explicit in the mission at all, but if the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir make a decision that we're selling the Aron Kodesh of our shul, or we're selling one of our shuls, we have two, we need just one of them, or whatever the story is, and all of the people of the city, and the Mishnah Berurah learns, in fact, that if it's unanimous, if there's a unanimous consent by all the rest of the people in the city, like in other words, with the way the language is, that is the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir do the sale b'ma'amad, like a town meeting, let's call it, with all of the residents of the city, and the Mishnah Berurah said Sif Kufnun Pei Gimel. He says there that any individual, any unanimity, anyone could stop this. But if the entire city agrees, including the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, to make a sale, then the sale is unrestricted and they could sell what they want and use the proceeds for whatever they want. Deconsecrated and acceptable. So these are not sort of absolutes, but sort of, I'll call it, safeguards to protect the city and the community from like loss of Kedusha or mitzvah items unnecessarily. The second thing you need to understand is that, it's really built on the first thing, is that the Kedusha we're talking about here is all rabbinic in nature. When we talk about something having Kedusha and it being like redeemed and losing its Kedusha, or when you take the Kedusha off of something and transfer it to something else, that really only applies to Hekdesh of the Beis HaMikdash, and similar things. There are some other, like there could be like in Kedushas, the Peros, the produce of Eretz Yisrael, and the Shemitah year, and so on. But in general, a Sefer Torah and certainly other mitzvah items, a Sefer Torah has other mitzvah items like a shul or a Aron Kodesh, etc. The Kedusha that's invested in those things isn't the kind of Kedusha which kind of is fungible and comes off the Kedusha onto coins and back and forth. It's a rabbinic in nature. The rabbis are saying we're treating the shul as if it has a sort of a Kedusha that can come off, and that while it's on, it's restricted in some way. Okay? Now, all that said, the governing principle, like the value at work here, the Torah's value at work here, is that unless, barring, I'm not going to discuss it again, but barring the unanimous decision of the city, including the Shivatu Ve'ir, and to make a sale, so the city isn't permitted to sell its resources, its religious resources, unless it's malin bakodesh ve'moridin, unless the net result is that the proceeds of the sale were used to purchase something that was more kadosh, more invested, more kedusha, sanctity, than before. And that, therefore, our mission will set forth kind of like a schedule of six levels of trading up higher and higher in terms of kedusha, saying you could only sell the lesser kadosh thing if you use the proceeds to purchase greater kadosh things like B, and so on. Okay, that's the backstory of the Mishnah here. So now, inside the Mishnah says, again, Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph 3:1, the Mishnah begins, and it says, B'nei ha'ir, if the residents of the city, so this would mean that a majority of the people of the city get together to make a decision on behalf of the city, but not with the consent and like authorization of the Shivetu Va'ir. And the exact same thing would be true if the Shivetu Va'ir act without the unanimous consent of the B'nei ha'ir, the residents of the city. Shemach Rechova Shal'ir, who sell the town square, a town square, a square in the town. So there's a Kedusha there, says the Tana, because if you remember from Maseches Tainus, in times of impending calamity, so people are to go to the town square and have prayer services there. So it functions like an ad hoc synagogue, if you will. So therefore, there's some Kedusha invested there. And if they're going to sell the town square, they have to keep this principle under the circumstance I described before, of malim b'kodesh v'ema reason, they can only get something more kadosh, and therefore, lokchin b'damav beis ha-knesses. The proceeds can only be used to purchase a shul, a beis knesses, a synagogue, or something further up the chain, but nothing less than that. Now, in terms of the Rechova Shalir having kedusha, that's the sheet of this Tana over here. Aratana, who the Gemara identifies as being... I forgot his name, we'll come back in a second. But anyways, this Tana holds that there's a Kedusha invested in the town square because of the reason I said that people pray there. However, the Chachamim disagree and say no, there is no Kedusha when it comes to the town square, and therefore there's no restriction at all on selling the town square. That was a shita of Rebbe Menachem Bar Yossi. Okay. Further, if you're gonna sell the shul, so here we say further up the chain here, we say beis ha-knesses, if the B'nei ha'ir or the Shiva Tuvir want to sell the beis knesses, the town's shul, lo k'chin teva, the kedusha goes up, and you can only buy with it a teva. A teva, according to most, means like the Aron Kodesh. Rabbi Yonah learns that it's the bima on which the Torah is read. Both are the same, I guess. Both are serve the Torah, and therefore have more kedusha than just the beis knesses itself. And you have to go, again, up and not down. Now, in Kedusha. Now, here everyone agrees there is this rabbinic Kedusha attached to Beis Knesses, and the sanctity has to be observed if they're not acting, you know, in unison with everyone together, including the Shiva Tuva year. So, now, separately, there's a separate Isser. If there'd be, let's say the case here is that you have, you know, two shuls in town, and the town just needs one, so they decided they're going to sell the second shul to a local, I don't know, library system, so that they can have the proceeds to use for other purposes. So then they're allowed to do that, like we described before, if everyone agrees. But there's a separate din derabanan. If there'd be only one shul in the town, to sell it is forbidden, not directly because of these rules of Kedusha, but rather that lest there be no shul left in the town, and no one have a place to daven and have a minyan, they won't build a new one, and therefore there's a separate issur of selling the last shul in town, if you know what I mean. Yeah, the last shul in town. Okay, as far as selling the shul, you could buy a teva. If you sell the Teva, the Aron Kodesh, or the Bima, then Lokhin Mitpachos, you have to purchase, these are like the fabric rolls, like a wimple, that are used to wrap up the Torah. Nowadays, when you wrap the Torah, we have a kind of like something made of Velcro, like a Velcro belt that goes around it, and then like the Ashkenazi communities, and then there's like the Torah cover. They used basically like fabric that they wrap the Torah in, and we're talking about that fabric that wraps the Torah to protect it, though that has a higher kedusha yet than a teva. So that's the purchase proceeds you could use from the sale of a teva. Is the mitpachos. If you sell the mitpachos, lokchin sfarim, then you can purchase only sifrei kodesh, so we're talking like scrolls of the Tanakh, etc. Now, a chumash as we know it would be considered a sefer also, but a Torah scroll, an actual sefer Torah, is a higher level. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, if the sefer Torah is pasul, and that's like, say, an invalid letter, then it has the status of being like a sefer here in our Mishnah. So, if you sell the Sfarim, those Sifrei Tanakh, etc., Lokchin Torah, then one can purchase only a Sefer Torah. That's the pinnacle of Kiddush like this. There's no higher end. Therefore, that's all you can do. Aval im machru Torah. If you sell a Sefer Torah, lo yikchu Sfarim. They're not allowed to use sale proceeds, to purchase other kinds of lesser sanctified Sfarim, like Tanakh, etc., scrolls. Sfarim, if it sells Sfarim, lo yikchu mitbachos, they can't purchase the covers for Torah scrolls. Mitbachos, lo yikchu teva, they can't use the proceeds of the mitpachat, of the wraps, to purchase Aron Kodesh or Bima. Teva, lo yikchu beis haknesses, the proceeds of the sale of the Ark. Torah Ark can't usually purchase the shul. Beis haknesses, lo yikchu es harachov, and the selling of shul can't be used, proceeds can't be used to purchase a square, even from what square they can use to pray inside. The chen b'mos rehen, and the same goes for the leftovers. This is like the change. In other words, if you're going uphill, let's say you sold your Aron Kodesh because you wanted to buy a set of scrolls, like Haftorah scrolls, you know, scrolls for leaning. So let's say this, you got $1,000 for your Aron Kodesh, and there was $900 to purchase the set of scrolls. You have $100 left. So you can't say, well, I use the majority for the right purpose. The last 100 I can use for like a lesser purpose. No, even the last $100 also has the same restrictions as the other 900. All the change, here's the Mishnah's word, mosrehan, the leftovers, the money, the change, also has to be put to use also for a higher purpose, but not less. Okay, now, that's all of that. Now, there is one other, at least one other major point that Gemara brings regarding this, which is, I said, if all the stakeholders act in unison, so then they can do essentially what they please, and they could sell anything and use the proceeds to buy anything else, whatever they see fit. There is a complexity, if we're talking about a base knesses that's used by, you know, people beyond the local village. So let's say, for example, for argument's sake, the people of the town built a shul on the, you know, at the train station. So now everyone who goes to the train station, when they need the mincha, they use that shul. So what happens is the whole world now becomes like a stakeholder in that shul, because not just the residents of the city use it, but a village use it, but also the people are traveling by. And therefore, once it happens, so there's no way to get all the stakeholders together, because it's not the Shiva Tuvi, or not even all the members of the village together are the only stakeholders. Therefore, they can never sell that shul, because they're not authorized to do so. If they would sell it, they would be restricted, only, you know, and disallowed to do so. Okay, fine. That is, so therefore, couldn't be sold, tachlis. Other point, selling a sefer Torah in general is forbidden at all events, regardless of who owns it and whether it's authorized to do so. So in other words, if you'd asked the same question before, if I had a private shul in my house or a private Aron Kodesh, so I'm the only stakeholder, I'm the only Bailim, the owner, and therefore I'm totally authorized to do what I please with it. Not true with the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah in general cannot be sold under any circumstances, under any normal circumstances, even if it's to buy a new Sefer Torah, etc. It's disallowed. There are exceptions brought down the halacha, extreme exceptions, like for example, if you need money to redeem Pidyon Shfuyim, redeem captives, or to marry off orphans, or the truth is for Talmud Torah itself, under those circumstances, one could sell a Sefer Torah, even if he's, you know, one could sell a Sefer Torah. Okay, and similarly, everyone agrees that the leftovers of the sale of the Sefer Torah can be used to purchase another Sefer Torah, because that's, even though it's equal Kedusha, not more Kedusha, because since the Torah scroll itself is the, sort of the top of the Kedusha pile, you have no choice but to use the proceeds for other Sefer Torah. Okay, now, one more point in the Mishnah, a new point here. This is, according to the version of the Mishnah as we have it, Rabbi Yehuda is mentioned as the Tana here. However, in the Gemara and most other Girsos, besides the one we have in front of us in most printed Mishnayos, it's Rabbi Meir Shita, and that seems proper. Rabbi Meir holds that when you sell one of these items, even after the sale, the Kedusha still remains with the item. So if you sell a shul, even though it's now been like decommissioned as a shul, but the Kedusha still is inherent to the shul, it still belongs to the building. So therefore you become restricted, and therefore you're restricted in what you and how you can sell it. And therefore the Mishnah says, Ein mochen es shel rab liyachid. You can't even sell one shul that's a public shul to a private person, to have a shul in his own backyard or his own house, etc. You're not allowed to do that. Bepnei shemoridin es oso mikedusha so, divrib meir. Because you are bringing it down from more kaddish less kaddish, because when you have a public shul, so then people daven there, they have a minyan there. People say dvarim shebe kedusha, you know, they have a minyan, so they can say kaddish, etc. Whereas when you sell that, if you sell that shul to a private person, wants to have his own private base of midrash, since he won't have a minyan there, he won't be able to do these dvarim shebe kedusha. So you've taken the shul down. That's Rabbi Meir Shita, and again, that's probably the proper girsa. Amru lo. So the rabbi said back to him, look, according to us, you could sell it, and there's no restrictions. But according to you, at least, im kain, af lo me'ir gadol ir katana, you shouldn't even be allowed to sell the shul, the rights of the shul, from a larger community to a smaller community. And the reason why is because you'll have fewer people, so you have less kedusha there. But Rabbi Meir rejects that. Rabbi Meir says there's a difference between fewer people davening, which of course, like, runs against the principle of Barov Am Hadras Melech, that with the greater multitude, there's more honor to the king. That's true, but he says we're not concerned about that. What we're concerned about is it going from a place that has a minion, so therefore you have minion there every time throughout the day, and you have your, all the Dvar Mishav Kedush that can be done only with a minion happens there, to a private person where you lose the minion, and therefore you just don't have those things happening, that you would not be allowed to do. However, the halacha is not like Rav Meir. The halacha is like the Tana Kama, which is that you could sell a base Knesset to another community, or really the truth is, as I said before, you could sell it as long as there's another shul in town, without restriction given the parameters I said before, etc.